Welcome to Deception in the Last Days with your host, Randy Shelton. Randy is a member of the Biblical Discernment and Research Center. He has been studying cults and new religious movements for over 30 years. Join Randy as he discerns the deception going on now in the last days.
Tonight, I want to continue in my mini-series, which I've entitled One Way to Apostasy. And we're looking at so-called Christian magazines, which are one of the ways, or one of the vehicles, I guess you could say, to the current apostasy and the upcoming prophetically, the predicted apostasy of Scripture in the last days. The first magazine we've been looking at is, of course, Charisma. And, you know, I would say that Charisma is the TBN of so-called Christian magazines. Charisma, like TBN, is chock full of heretics and false prophets. In fact, I would also say they are full of fruits, nuts, and flakes, just in time for the holiday fruitcake season. Anyway, I want to return to Christian magazines, the Charisma magazine I was looking at, which is the March 2012 issue. And we were looking at a couple of articles, a couple of features by Randy Clark and by Bill Johnson. And they had a couple sub-articles, which I was reading from. And I want to review a little bit. One of the articles by Randy Clark was called God's Arsonists. Randy Clark identifies the major leaders, both known and unknown, of the global revivalist community. Shortly after the outpouring of the Holy Spirit in Toronto 18 years ago, the Spirit impressed upon me that he was going to send me all over the world to meet some of his greatest leaders, pastors, evangelists, prophets, and apostles. And so he did in the article. I mean, he mentioned, of course, Bill Johnson, of the overseer of Bethel Church in Redding, California. And through his apostolic anointing and revelational teaching about healing and the culture of honor. Anyway, and then, of course, he mentioned Abe Huber, which is a man that I knew of at the Bible college that I went to, who was also involved with Randy Clark in his Global Awakenings movement. And one of the links to the Global Awakenings was the Voice of the Apostle Conference, which has just passed recently. And I mentioned some of the leading people that were involved with that, Randy Clark and Bill Johnson, of course. And I don't think Benny Hinn made the party, but although he was listed in the link for the event. And then, there were other false apostles as well. But since I commented on that last week, I ran across... Oh, well, wait a minute. I'm getting ahead of myself. The Global Awakenings. Let me review a little bit about that real quick. In January 1984, Randy Clark met John Wimber, founder of the Vineyard Movement, for the first time. John prayed for him and prophesied many encouraging words. Among those words, which Randy has never forgotten, were, "You are a prince in the kingdom of God." Although discouraged prior to receiving this prophecy, Randy was greatly encouraged afterwards. A few months later, Randy discovered what else God spoke audibly to John that night. When Randy asked why he had been put on the leadership council of the Vineyard when he had less than 50 people in the new church, a close confidant of John Wimber told him, "John didn't invite you onto the council because of what you have done, but because of what God told him audibly you will do. You're going to go around the world and lay your hands upon pastors and leaders for impartation of the Holy Spirit and to stir up and impart gifts of the Spirit." And of course, that's what he meant in that article, God's Arsonists, about people all over the world, of two of whom I mentioned already. But anyway, moving on to an article that I came across by Mark Jeffries, who has the Emergent Watch website. And he commented on the Voice of the Apostles Conference, which I also alluded to last week. And the title of his article is Voice of the Apostles, Deceiving Spirits and Demonic Transference, or impartation might be the term that they like to use. Now, in this article, Mark has a short video, which basically is, well, let me just read what he has here. He says, "The Voice of the Apostles Conference 2017 was held October 17th to the 20th in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. This event is where top false prophets of the New Apostolic Reformation ordain and anoint their disciples. The Emergent Watch documentary video is a composite of over 8 hours of video taken during the three-day event. In this video, one can witness the demonic transference from these false apostles and the demonic spiritual effect this has on their followers. These effects have been compared to those seen in occultic Kundalini awakening and the uncontrollable movements known as Kriyas. He goes on to say, oh, and by the way, that video, I watched it, and I'm not sure, but I believe it's about an 8-minute video. I could be wrong. I'm thinking it was about 8 minutes, so you don't have to worry about watching 8 hours of this, but it is good if you've never seen this type of demonic manifestation going on in so-called Christian circles. You can check it out for yourself and see what's taking place. So anyway, he goes on in the article, there are absolutely no verses in the Bible that show the Holy Spirit manifesting these physical symptoms. On the contrary, there are multiple verses in the Gospels showing demons manifesting similar symptoms, you know, being seized by evil spirits, falling to the ground and convulsing, twitching and jerking, etc. And he references Matthew 17, 15 plus, you know, ongoing, and Luke 9:42, etc. Now, I had quoted myself concerning this whole phenomenon. I had quoted 1 Timothy 4:1 and also Matthew 7:22 and 23, which Mark quotes the 1 Timothy 4:1 plus some other verses. So I want to quote a couple of those verses that Mark has printed out here for us. And 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 3 through 11, or at least parts of those verses are here. Let no one deceive you by any means, for that day of the Lord will not come unless the falling away or apostasia comes first. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work. The coming of the lawless one, or the Antichrist, is according to the working of Satan, with all power, signs, and lying wonders, and with all unrighteous deception among those who perish, because they did not receive the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this reason, God will send them strong delusion, that they should believe the lie. And then a couple other verses I'll quote. There are more applicable verses that he's offered in this article. But I want to quote 1 John 4:1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. There's another warning about false prophets. Throughout God's word, he warns us. And then 2 Peter chapter 2, 18 through 19, speaking of false teachers and false prophets, he says, they speak great swelling words of emptiness. They allure through the lust of the flesh. While they promise them liberty, they themselves are slaves of corruption. For by whom a person is overcome, by him also is he is brought into bondage. So I'm glad I ran across that article, and we are trying to be watchmen on the wall as we look at these events taking place in our times in these last days. And I also last week quoted from another sub-article by Bill Johnson called The Miracle Message, and I'm going to review that real quick. It says, for as long as I can remember, the message of the church has been the salvation of souls. Perhaps it is the beauty of that message that has lulled us to sleep concerning the rest of our assignment. It is bigger than that. He goes on to say, the word save in the original Greek in Luke 9:56, in the original Greek language, is sozo. It refers specifically to the forgiveness of sin, the healing of diseases, and the deliverance from torment. That is salvation, he says. Jesus made the provision needed to save the whole person, spirit, soul, and body. Now, I was also referencing last week an article entitled Climbing Up Another Way, Is There a Spiritual Ladder to the Lap of Father God? And that's from the Berean Call Ministry, and you can get that article online. And in that article, I began the article and I wasn't able to finish it, but I thought it was good for me to also review again a little of that, not the entire article that I've already read, but a little of what I've read and then the additional information. He says in the paragraph entitled Bethel Sozo Redefining Salvation, it says the Bethel Sozo website appears to redefine salvation not as an accomplishment of Christ at a moment in time, but as a process of perpetual deliverance. Just a second. There we go. Perpetual deliverance with the help of their tools, of course. The Sozo ministry is a unique inner healing and deliverance ministry in which the main aim is to get to the root of those things hindering your personal, personal connection with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Sozo is the Greek word translated saved, healed, delivered, which, of course, I'm repeating that article, that little article from Charisma Magazine. Sozo contains the whole package of being made whole or well. At the very least, this confuses salvation, or the purchase of God, with ongoing sanctification of the believer, which comes as we mature in the Lord and respond in obedience to His Word. The Sozo tools, according to Bethel, become part and parcel of a believer's journey to complete the salvation or Sozo process. This subtle shift in terminology raises a critical question. In what, then, does Bethel Church encourage believers and non-believers to put their faith and hope? Jesus Christ or the Sozo experience? The Freedom Resource website makes a telling correlation between itself and the Addiction Recovery Group, Alcoholics Anonymous. Although it refers only to the organizational structure, in fact, its use of divination, the technique by which AA's co-founder Bill Wilson received its 12 steps methodology, is the main technique of Sozo's tools. As explained by Dave Hunt in his article, God as You Conceive Him, Her, or It to Be, this is from The Brian Call, July 1997, the principles of AA come by direct inspiration from the demonic world, and they open the door to the occult by introducing members to a false god. Like AA's 12 steps, Sozo utilizes methodologies that are either not found in Scripture or condemned by God's Word. Now, we move to another paragraph in this article, and this is entitled Climbing Up Another Way. It says, co-founder of Bethel Sozo, Teresa Liebschecker, elaborates on one of the program's tools. The Father Ladder is an amazing tool. It's going to get you some information into the wounds and lies really quick and easy. It's also a tool that can be used in any way, shape, or form, including once you get healed, it's going to be a tool that you'll be able to access for the rest of your life. I'm going to explain that as we go along. And of course, the article goes on and says, so what exactly is the Father Ladder? The Bethel Sozo website doesn't say. Anyway, even the available YouTube clips featuring Donna and Teresa only entice, not explain. In order to find out, you have to attend a seminar or purchase their DVD series. The basic Sozo DVD course is $105 plus a $10 manual. The advanced Sozo DVD course is $77 plus a $10 manual, which includes the continuing treatment course called Shabar, sold separately for $45. The Freedom Resource Sozo Network has authored its own set of guides and materials. The latter is a computer flowchart method of interviewing clients that is designed to reveal what has been popularly described as by both secular psychologists and Christian counselors as the father wound, although it may be a wound inflicted by someone else or even yourself. In the Sozo user manual, Andy Reese explains, we are interacting with both the person or the client and God throughout the process. We begin by asking the person to picture Papa God, or by asking Papa to give the person a picture of himself. We might say, what picture comes to mind when I say Father God? Or picture Papa God and describe him to me. Curiously, Reese says that we will use a father picture to explain the process, though a mother or sibling picture works the same way. Anyway, in this article from Brian Call, it says, this is violation number one. Actually, it is number two violation of the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above. Exodus 24. Where in God's Word are we ever instructed to picture or visualize God or Jesus? Of course, when Jesus walked the earth, he affirmed his deity by declaring, he that hath seen me hath seen the Father. John 14:9. But Christ also declared, I and my Father are one. John 10:30. However, we are also told that no man hath seen God at any time. John 1:18 and 1 John 4:12. All right, now, moving on in the article. As should be abundantly clear, It is absolutely preposterous and pointless to try and imagine God in our minds as a physical being. God's word declares God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. John 4:24. Therefore, all attempts to picture or depict God are acts of the flesh at best, which profits nothing, or open one up to demonic deception at worst, for God is a spirit. It stands to reason, therefore, that any imagined image of God is by definition the very opposite of truth. The Father Ladder flowchart then prompts the Sozo counselor to ask, is your picture of God a good one or a bad one? If it is a good picture, the client is instructed to speak audibly or silently to the image of Papa God and ask the dreamlike figure, what do you think of me? If the client has a negative picture of God, the facilitator is instructed to find the reason by using other tools in the Sozo method, such as the four doors presenting Jesus, or probing for the presence of demonic oppression or possession in the individual using the wall tool or dealing with demons. And then in the next paragraph, Sozo presenting another Jesus, we read, in the presenting Jesus tool, the counselor asks the client to picture Jesus and ask for his help. Once again, any such imagined manifestation of Christ in the mind's eye can only be false. Jesus warned of false Christs and false prophets who would arise and show great signs and wonders, using all means possible to deceive the very elect, if possible. Wherefore, if they shall say unto you, behold, Christ is in the desert, go not forth, or behold, he is in the very secret chambers, believe it not. Matthew 24:24 and 26. The Greek word for secret chambers is tamion, which means a secret room or inner chamber. Is not the mind such a place? The same word is used figuratively for praying in your closet in Matthew 6:6 and again in Luke 12:3. Obviously, we are not only to pray. Obviously, we are not only to pray in closets, because we are elsewhere instructed to pray without ceasing. We certainly don't live and work in a closet. Neither can we pray out loud all day long in every situation. Clearly, the meaning is that even secret or closeted prayers spoken from our innermost chambers of the heart and mind are heard by our Father in heaven. However, there is no secret room or secret instruction in God's word for visualizing Christ as a means of accessing him through prayer. In fact, quite the opposite. Scripture repeatedly warns of false Christ who will even appear as an angel of light, 2 Corinthians 11:14. Such demons have deceived countless individuals through the ages, many of whom have spawned some of the most widespread cults based on doctrines of devils. And there's 1 Timothy 4:1 again. Attempting to contact God or Jesus through our mind's eye, therefore, is a form of divination and necromancy, which is attempting to communicate with spirits of the dead. These variations of witchcraft are expressly forbidden in Scripture. Ironically, the Sozo User Manual by Andy Reese explains that if the client is unable to see Jesus, which could never be the real Jesus, there's a high likelihood of demonic blockage. In order to probe for the presence of a demon, the counselor is told how to gain access to the client's mind in much the same way as a hypnotist. In the example given on page 40, the counselor asks the client to go to the back seat of your conscience right now, sort of like climbing into the back seat of your car, and we're going to see if there is something that is trying hard to block you from getting freedom, that is to visualize Christ, okay? Considering just two of the six tools found in the Sozo program, it's clear that it is dangerously flawed. Furthermore, its methodology is indistinguishable from forms used by secular psychotherapists, which have their origin in the occult. Sozo is spiritualized Freudian psychoanalysis that includes psychic determination and seeking out the unconscious through techniques that include various forms of guided imagery. Anyone involved in Sozo needs to take heart the admonition given in Proverbs. And then the very helpful scriptures, Proverbs 14:12 and 16:25. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. So, very sobering and very important to see what's taking place with these practices through Bill Johnson's Sozo approach. Anyway, now, I had mentioned earlier of a guy that I knew in the past who went to the same Bible college that I went to, who was involved in the false impartation movement, let's call it, which the article, you know, he was referred to as one of God's arsonists. But I also knew of a guy personally who is a facilitator of the Sozo Method. His name is Keith Shad, and along with his wife, Susan, they're directors of the Tree of Life Transformation Center in Santa Cruz, California. They're described as regional facilitators and trainers for Bethel Sozo teams. They also co-founded the Santa Cruz School of the Supernatural. And from their website, I want to read a few things. Equipping, empowering, and activating the hungry in supernatural living. He says, welcome to our website. Our goal is to help you identify all that God has already made available to you so that you can better encounter Him, allowing you to more fully enjoy yourself and others. We do this through a variety of trainings and encounters. And then on in the section about us, it says, Keith and Susan Shad, after being trained for 2 years in Redding, California, at Bethel Church, pastored by Bill Johnson, opened the Tree of Life Transformation Center and Santa Cruz School of the Supernatural in Santa Cruz, California. The Tree of Life Transformation Center is the home base for many of the services Keith and Susan provide. The center provides a place for, number one, group training, where they host monthly training conferences, two, offices for individual Sozo sessions, and three, operating the Santa Cruz School of the Supernatural. They offer training and personal sessions in Sozo inner healing and spiritual cleansing, as well as seminars for restoring your spirit, soul, and body. They regularly teach conferences concerning healing room training, prophetic gifting, heaven-to-earth intercession, and supernatural street encounters. And then the Santa Cruz School of the Supernatural, which they started, in it, their desire is to see individuals, churches, and groups all around the world walk in the supernatural power of the Spirit, enriching lives and communities. Keith has been an ordained minister since 1994 and has a passion to see individuals and groups encounter the supernatural. Susan is a graduate of the Bethel School of Supernatural Ministry and has a degree in Christian psychology. She has a passion to see people set free from physical, psychological, emotional, and spiritual bondage. Then the next entry from their website, what is Sozo? Sozo is an inner healing prayer model that was developed by Bethel Church in Redding, California. It is not a counseling session, but a prayer encounter designed to get you more fully connected to God, yourself, and others. Instead of telling you what we think you should do about a situation, we help you hear from God as to what He thinks about you, others in your life, and your situations. The word Sozo, and this is a little repetition here, the word sozo is a Greek word in the New Testament that as it is applied to the body, soul, or spirit. I'm sorry. The word sozo is a Greek word in the New Testament that as it is applied to the body, soul, or spirit. It is translated as saved, healed, or delivered. It is not unusual for those having a session to receive physical, emotional, or spiritual healing as they hear directly from God. Most of those receiving a sozo see tremendous breakthrough during their encounter. So I guess it's not money back guaranteed. But anyway, Sozo is not intended to be a long-term treatment program. Most Sozo Zs see tremendous results with just one or two sessions. A typical Sozo session will last about 2 to 3 hours with one to three trained people assisting you with your session. During that time, we will allow the Spirit of God to lead us to issues that may be causing blocks in the view of oneself, their relationships with others, or with God. So they're going to allow the Spirit of God to lead them. Okay, that's good. A little sarcasm on my part there, folks. We use a variety of spiritual methods, such as forgiveness, undoing the results of negative statements, and getting free from negative personal, spiritual, and family behaviors, beliefs, and practices. We typically request a minimum $125 per person. God doesn't charge quite as much, but anyway, again, a little sarcasm. I just can't help it myself sometimes. In scheduling your Sozo, from their website, they say During your sozo, we will ask that you please turn off all cell phones. No note-taking or recording is permitted. We will provide you with what we call God notes, which are the highlights of your encounter. Most of the time, your eyes will be closed as we ask questions and lead you in prayer. If the wording seems unusual, trust us on the first issue. It doesn't feel right, or if it isn't applicable, then just tell us and we will redirect. Please remember to narrate what you are experiencing. It will help us to follow your encounter. Please know that in a so-so session, there are no right or wrong answers. The best response is the first impression, thought, feeling, picture, etc., even if it doesn't make sense or seems unrelated or strange. In the event that we visit a past life experience, trust that we do so in the most honoring way possible to everyone involved. Our goal is not to place blame on anyone, but to get you healed from your wounds. If you're not comfortable with the way it is being handled, let us know and we will redirect. When I first read that past life experience, I thought, are we talking about reincarnation here? But they're not. But they're probably talking about regressive type therapy, or, you know, hidden memories, that type of thing. False recovered memories, if you will. Sometimes we have what seems to be an inappropriate reaction, such as laughter or unresponsiveness. This is because, in a sense, we are having two conversations at once, one with you and one with God. We are not intentionally being rude, but we are receiving the steps to your freedom and may be experiencing emotions and insight into what you will soon be experiencing. And then going on to a section on the Santa Cruz School of the Supernatural, this is some of their information if you're going to go to this school. Santa Cruz School of the Supernatural offers Bethel Redding style training, but we do it locally so that individuals do not have to leave their families, jobs, housing, or church ties to receive such high-level ministry training. About our training, the first year raises the skill and character levels of students in identity, prophetic, hearing from God, healing body, spirit, and soul, heavenly encounters, heaven-to-earth intercession, partnering with angels, dream interpretation, and prophetic evangelism. And believe me, that partnering with angels, I'm afraid if there's any angels there, they're fallen angels, folks. That's just the way it is, as you'll see as we continue to delve into this. Anyway, second year develops leadership in encounter-focused systematic theology, of course, because this is very experience-oriented, the whole Bethel thing, history of the moves of God in the world, inner healing models, and I'm not listing everything in the curriculum, just some of them. Each student is required to receive a sozo, or inner healing session, at a Bethel-approved site. Now, I'm running out of time, so next week we will look at another facilitator by the name of Jim Banks, another facilitator of the sozo method who has also been involved in what's called theophastic therapy. And we will look into that and go into further detail on some of these things. God bless you all. I hope you'll be with us next week.